Essay 60, The Consistency of the New General Relativity. The simple idea of basing a new general relativity on the Minkowski metric led immediately to a series of severe tests of the self-consistency of the ECE theory, a theory based directly on Catlin's geometry of the early 20s, in which he inferred the existence of space-time torsion. These tests were carried out in UFT 205 on AIAS.us and worked perfectly, giving great confidence in the entire series of 205 papers available up to about early 2012. Now there are 343 papers in English and over 200 in Spanish. This essay describes the series of tests in plain language. By constraining the metric with the observed orbit, the theory is based from the outset on experimental data. General relativity no longer pretends to predict the orbit. It is now known to all honest scientists that Einstein and his followers fail spectacularly to do that. The new relativity is more modest in the face of nature. It aims to analyze all orbits in terms of Catlin's geometry. This is an elegant mathematical construction and basically simple. It is a general geometry that reduces to Riemann's geometry. The aim of proceeding in this way is to preserve the idea that physics is geometry, to preserve the philosophy of relativity itself. This is done because special relativity is so accurate and so is worth building upon correctly. By now, this idea has evolved into ECE 2, in which relativity is developed using equations of special relativity in a space with finite torsion and curvature. ECE 2 is causing a huge amount of interest. Nearly all the ideas of the old Einsteinian general relativity, EGR, have proven to be badly wrong. So drastic surgery becomes more and more necessary. First and foremost, it became necessary to reinstate torsion along with curvature, because Catlin's geometry shows that neither can be left out of consideration. The EGR was developed in an era before torsion was known, so was wrong from the beginning. Catlin pointed this out to Einstein, who seems to have taken some notice but never hit on the right ideas of unification. I seem to have succeeded in doing this in the spring of 2003, at which time I was innocent enough to believe the EGR propaganda. Einstein's hyper-dogmatic followers, however, went on in the same old way, so that hundreds of textbooks were based on arbitrary and incorrect mathematics. This begs the question again of whether mathematics are taught properly, because very often hear that that people don't understand the mathematics. Secondly, the Christoffel connection was shown to be anti-symmetric simply because it is defined directly by a commutator, as is described in earlier essays. However, this result becomes clear only if torsion is correctly calculated, and very, very few textbooks did that. In fact, I know of only one, and that's by Sean Carroll. In the first place, their authors had to know that torsion existed. At this point, UFT 122, the ECE theory clashed head-on with the most deeply entrenched dogma of the 20th century, the completely mindless adherence to a symmetric connection and no torsion. Having established the anti-symmetry of the connection, the next step was to use it to compute the torsion and curvature of spacetime. The metric compatibility theorem of the old EGR is wrong. All its geometry is wrong. So a clear and unbiased mind had to be applied anew to the subject of relativity, and it had to be done amid howls of cyber-stalking and childishly contrived protest from some of the lesser talented dogmatists, self-appointed prophets of a bygone age. A new metric compatibility theorem had to be deduced, and this was done in 186 to 189. Thirdly, this method had to be self-consistent with an exact identity developed by Cartan, an identity which relates the torsion and curvature in a supremely elegant way. This Cartan identity is the correct version of the first Bianchi identity. In UFT 313, the correct second Bianchi identity was inferred, the Jacobi Cartan-Evans identity. Only by a thorough knowledge of differential forms and of tensors can this beauty be appreciated, but one can try to hint at it using words like this. The Cartan identity gives one half of the field equations of unified physics, so the other half had to be found in an early stage of ECE theory. This was done using the concept of the Hodge dual. I had found another identity. I referred to this as the Evans identity, for the sake of identifying it and making it distinct from the Cartan identity. More accurately, should be called Cartan-Evans identity, because I inferred another torsion identity in UFT 109, which I called the Evans identity. By now, we should all be modest in the face of nature. The torsion and curvature elements of the new relativity had to obey this identity and also the original Cartan identity. The deceptively simple idea of constraining the Minkowski metric immediately led to this series of very severe tests. Using hand calculations would have taken months, if not years, all fraught with the danger of human error, using candles burning at both ends deep into the night, but computer algebra from Horst Eckert arrived within a few days of the original idea for UFT 205. These results looked very complicated initially, so the task of testing them with the Cartan-Evans identity looked hopeless. At this point, the computer had to yield to human intellect and insight, which showed that the identity gave the chain rule of differentiation and was therefore true in general for any orbit that may be observed in nature. I have not found a more elegant result in my career. UFT 205 therefore encapsulates the great beauty of geometry, and in this sense the ancient peoples were perfectly right. All nature is geometry. Ubi materia, ibi geometria. Special relativity is the free Minkowski metric. General relativity is the constrained Minkowski metric. It will be difficult indeed to surpass the perfection of this result. In so trying, we would risk the wrath of the gods.